This weekend was introduced by a word from the prophet Zephaniah, and I'd like to also have a word from Zephaniah this morning. Zephaniah, the second chapter and the third verse. Zephaniah, the second chapter and the third verse. When you get it, why, we'll read it together. In the meanwhile, I would like to bring greetings from our brother Joseph Wanamaker of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I spoke with him this morning. He has been with us many, many labor days, and he said, I wish I could be with you today. But that is impossible, not because he doesn't personally feel up to it. Our sister Marie Millington has witnessed how that he has been active and ministering on the platform there in Milwaukee, but his wife is not as strong as she should be, and he doesn't want to leave her, feels that the Lord wants him to be with her. I mean, she's not sick in bed or anything like that, but she's way up in her 90s, you know, and he feels a tender regard for her, which is only right and proper. I think she was 93 in June, and she's not up to traveling. But anyway, he has been looking to God in our behalf, and he's been with us in spirit, and we're so thankful for his faith and for his love. Praise the Lord. Let's just look to God in his behalf right now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the ministry of our brother and sister Wanamaker throughout the years, and how, oh God, you have made them a blessing to thousands of people. We thank thee, oh God, that our brother is able again to minister and to worship thee in music and in the word and in prayer. We pray, oh God, that you will indeed bless him today and come to him and come to his wife. We thank you for them, oh God, and let thy perfect will be accomplished in them and through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Zephaniah, the second chapter, and the third verse, let us read it all together.
Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
It's a very interesting study to go through the Word of God, through the book of Psalms, and see how often we are exhorted to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his face, or his presence. Seek him continually. And oh, there are so many, many promises given to those who seek the Lord. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And in the book of Proverbs, we read that they that seek the Lord understand all things. In the book of 2 Chronicles in particular, although there is a little in the first book of Chronicles, why, you have a great deal spoken by way of example about those who sought the Lord and those who did not seek the Lord and the respective results. The Word of God gives us in Isaiah this word, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And this is a call that goes out and has gone out throughout the centuries, and it's been going out in these days likewise. It's not only for the unsaved, but it is also for those who already know the Lord and have experienced him in power and in great glory. We find it expressed, although not that word, we find that thought expressed in the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Hallelujah. There's a chorus that is being sung that the greatest thing in all the world is to know him. And that's true. And God wants us to know him. But you only know him by seeking him. But if you seek him, you will find him. And if you find him, why, you will indeed find all. Hallelujah. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would like to just specifically call your attention to this. We hear so oftentimes the exhortation, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And perhaps people don't have a real clear-cut knowledge of what it means to seek the Lord. We need to understand what is included in seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many truths in the Word of God that I liken unto a prism. You know, a beautiful, beautiful glass, crystal glass prism. It's absolutely, as it were, in a sense of the word, colorless. You can see right through it, and it's so beautiful in its whiteness. But then when the sun shines upon it, you see all the colors of the rainbow. And so it is with seeking the Lord. And so it is with really going after God. In Jesus Christ is made unto us all we need. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And when we seek Him, we are really seeking these things, these attributes of His. And when we seek the attributes, we ought to realize that they are definitely found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they are leading to Him and to a greater knowledge of Himself. In this particular passage, you find this word, seek ye the Lord, and it's directed especially to all the meek of the earth. And then seek righteousness, seek meekness. I think if you'll really meditate upon the subject, you'll really see that seeking the Lord includes those two things, seeking righteousness and seeking meekness. You think about it. And you pray about it. Seek righteousness. That, of course, could be amplified and equated with holiness, with godliness, with purity, righteousness, straightness. Oh, how we need straightness. The Word of God says, Jesus Himself said it, didn't He? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the rule of God, and His righteousness. There are some who believe that that could be translated, seek the kingdom of God, even His righteousness. The Greek word and all often has the force of even when it is used in a series like that. And so we can say, seek the kingdom of God, even His righteousness. Hallelujah. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Seek righteousness. Now, not only does Zephaniah say that, but we also know that Jesus Christ, I've just quoted him, Jesus Christ gives us that admonition, that we should seek righteousness. Or, to put it in another word, seek holiness. After all, isn't that what the writer to the Hebrews says? Follow after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Peter says. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Seek righteousness. Now that is an integral part of seeking the Lord. When I am seeking the Lord, when I am calling upon Him, when I am asking Him to come to me, I am asking that He will make my life right, that He will make my life straight, that He will make my life holy. Hallelujah. And we need to realize, if you turn it around, if we're seeking righteousness, that He is made unto us righteousness. And when I am seeking righteousness in the proper way, I am seeking that Jesus shall come to me in that way. That Jesus Himself shall change me from the old crooked stick that I am and from my own crooked ways. And He'll cause me then to walk in the way of the Lord. But then there's this other side to seeking the Lord, and that is seek meekness. Seek meekness. Did you ever honestly seek meekness? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I'd like you to answer that between yourself and God. Seek meekness. Have you ever really sought meekness? When somebody heard the attitude quoted, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, they blasphemously answered, yes, 6 feet two. That's what comes to those who are meek. But listen, God is after something. You know, meekness, people have a wrong idea. They sometimes think that it's being sort of hunchbacked and sort of some little person that's shoved off in the corner. No, you know, it says of Moses that he was the meekest man that ever was, and yet what strength there was in that man. What power there was in that man. And we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said of himself, I am meek. And yet, when God demanded it of him, why, he could take a whip and he could drive the money changers from the temple and say, make not my house a house of merchandise. You've made it a den of thieves. Get out of here. And he, that same meekness was in evidence when before Pilate he answered not a word. The question isn't about whether you're strong or whether you're seemingly weak and when you're seemingly quiet. But the question is, am I doing God's will? I think that I never probably got a much better definition of meekness than this, that it's just the profound will of God without one utterance of your own. Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to open my mouth, I'll open it, and if you want me to shut my mouth, I'll shut it. I'm absolutely at your disposal continually, all the time. Hallelujah. I'm down at your feet. I'm saying, Lord, as we heard that last night, I believe it was, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then we do it. Then we do it. There are some people who say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord shows them what they're to do. And then they forthwith go right out and do the opposite thing. I'm sorry to say, but that is so of some Christians. And that is a very tragic attitude. And that's anything but meek. That's the opposite of meekness. You say, how can that be? How can it be? Well, it's because people have not really said one great eternal yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and settled it once and for all. Lord, wherever I know your will, I'll do it. Lord, I want to know your will. And Lord, when you show me your will, I'll do it by the grace of God, no matter what it costs me. I'm so glad that when I was about 15 years old, one of my ministers was used of God to say to me, Gordon, you need to pray through that God will enable you to say one great eternal yes to God. And I'm thankful to God that I did. I shall be thankful throughout the ages of eternity. And whenever he has made me to know his will, why, there's never been any question about doing it at all. Sometimes I haven't known his will, and I do not say at all that I have been perfectly led or done everything completely right. But when God has made me to know his will, why, there's never been the slightest question. And that's what should be true of everybody. Of every individual. As that chorus says, we learned some years ago from our brother Philip Wanamaker, I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. Oh, Rabbiya Gobuya Labarazolo Go Rabbi. Hallelujah. And when you've really said yes with your will, and it's real, you really meant it, and it's prayed through, why, I tell you, it's a life of joy and blessing and peace. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to be for one moment misunderstood about what I said last night. I said at the close of the meeting, why, of course, none of us would have been caught dead or alive sitting down after we'd been challenged to stand up if we wanted to do the will of God. What I said and what I meant, if there's any question, I know that God has a stand in consecration, and I know God has done marvelous things when people have stood in consecrating themselves to God. But I know this, that 99 times out of 100, that simple act isn't complete and sufficient. That's my point. that it must be really prayed through. Thank God for the beginning consecration, act of consecration. But God wants us to go through on that thing. And unless that thing is really set into our souls as the result of prayer and of waiting upon God, our goodness is going to evaporate, shall we say, as the prophet says in one place, as the morning dew when the sun shines on it. Oh, Rabba Zagaba Yolobo Rabbi, Garevia Yego Zolobo Rabbi, seek meekness. You say somebody here in this meeting said that's in the Old Testament. All right. What does Jesus say? Come, learn of me, for I am meek and low in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. The only thing that Jesus ever told anybody to learn of him was humility. That's really the only thing that we are told whereby we, specifically, I mean, there are suggestions, of course, and there are suggestions in otherwise, but the one thing that Jesus said that we should learn of him was that we should be meek. 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 In Ephesians, if you will turn to that, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the first and second verse, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. With all lowliness and meekness. Now that's the way we are supposed to walk worthy of the Lord, isn't it? That's how we are. The Apostle Paul says virtually the same thing in Philippians 2, the third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than himself. And Peter virtually says exactly the same thing, and he uses the exact same word as far as the Greek is concerned in 1 Peter 5:5, he says, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Now, whether it's Zephaniah or Jesus or Paul or Peter, they all say exactly the same thing. They have one voice. One voice. And it's good for us to get this into our system and to pray over it. To really pray over it. I go back to Paul's word in Ephesians 4 that we should walk worthy of the vocation. In other words, we should walk worthy of the calling. We've been called saints. We've been called Christians. We've been called after the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the very first characteristic, according to the Apostle Paul, is lowliness, meekness, lowliness, with all lowliness, and meekness. Oh, Rabba Gajagabayala Go Rabba Gazandai. Meekness, just the profound will of God without one utterance of your own. There are other definitions, I know. You can look them up in dictionaries and whatnot and concordances, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing. But to you, but look, dear ones, there's a call that goes out to all of us. We don't hear much preaching about it. We don't see many books about it. Oh, I was talking to Mrs. Flower, who is one of the outstanding ministers of the Assemblies of God. And she's one of their pioneers, or one of the Pentecostal pioneers, I should say, with her husband, they founded the Pentecostal Evangel. And she's been used of God and is being used of God right up to the present moment. And she's going to be 93 this year. And she said something that was very interesting. She said, you know, the publishing house, I'm just paraphrasing, not exactly quoting word for word, but this is what she said in substance. She said, you know, the publishing house isn't interested in solid books and so on today and getting such things out. They're interested in getting out prophecy, books on prophecy, and books that have to do with the spectacular and sort of the, well, you know, the sensational. But to publish something that is really solid, I'm so thankful to God that there are a number of our publishing houses that are reprinting some of the best in devotional literature, and that books by Andrew Murray and other of the saints of God are once again being reprinted after having been out of print for so many years, because people are waking up to the fact that it isn't the sensational that's going to hold them in the day of trouble. And there's been too much guesswork in books of prophecy and similar books. And people say, listen here, we need something for today, right now. And so God is creating a hunger, and thank God that hunger is being satisfied. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. I somehow feel like throwing out a challenge to you, and a suggestion to you, from the Word of God. But somehow I just feel like saying this. Maybe, I'll put it this way, maybe there are those here in this meeting, and maybe God would like everyone here. Maybe God would like everyone here to pray every day, oh God, make me meek and lowly in heart. Make me like Jesus in this respect. God, I'm going to seek I'm going to obey your word. You said to seek meekness. And now, Lord, I ask you to come to me, and you be my meekness. You take possession of me in this way and in this respect. Oh, how many people are seeking other things that will make them to be well recognized and known, seeking power, seeking gifts, seeking various manifestations, seeking something which is outward and obvious to other people. I tell you something, it'll be obvious to people if you're really meek. It will be. It'll be very obvious. And God will do something through you. He'll do something through you. Hallelujah. As you come down. As you come down at his feet. As you humble yourself. Isn't that exactly what it says in another place? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Did you ever ask God to teach you how to humble yourself? Lord, I don't know how. It's not in us, not in a one of us, not in a one of us. We're vaccinated with pride from the moment that we were born, and before that, I suppose. It's born into us, absolutely born into us, pride. I. Just this past week, I've been reading a short article in one of the leading religious periodicals. And the gist of it was this, that today there has been in the last 10 years There's been in the last 10 years a revolution in the thinking of people all over America and even in the religious thinking. And that is this, that we should express ourselves and I should be exalted and others, this writer said, it was a man, I don't know, remember his name now, but he said, you know, that it used to be that there was the element of serving others, giving ourselves, laying down our lives, wanting to be what God would have us to be for the sake of others. But in the secular and in the religious world, there is an entirely different emphasis. Oh, I must have a good image of myself. If I don't have a good image of myself, and I don't build up my own image in my own mind, then I won't amount to anything. And as I say, this was nationally known person was saying, there's come an entire revolution. And of course, that revolution has simply been brought about by the enemy himself, because that's what he's been wanting to do from the very beginning, and the very thing that he's been appealing to right from the Garden of Eden on. You know that if you take that fruit, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll be somebody. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the enemy. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. And I repeat it, maybe there are those in this meeting whom the Lord would have pray every day this year. And if you come back to the Labor Day conference next year, I guarantee that you'll be recognized that God has wrought a very great change in your life. Don't try to make yourself me, but believe God to do it and to show you how to come down, and he will indeed meet you abundantly.
If you would have the dear Savior from heaven, walk by your side from the morn till the
of us who have the red books. This is one of Brother Edwin's favorite songs, and he had it Xerox printed so that it could be put into the hymnals of our church, and we followed suit, and it's in the back part of your red book. Now, I can't tell you whether it's the last page, last blank page after the index or not, but I know that it would be well for us if we would take this song sort of as a summary of what we have heard. Seek the Lord. Seek righteousness. Yes. Seek meekness. Hallelujah. Let us stand while we sing it, and we'll sing the first verse again, because many of you didn't have the words. And let us be sure to sing it as far as we possibly can all throughout the congregation.
Hallelujah. Lord, we pray Thee that You'll give everyone understanding as to how to apply this teaching to their own lives. Oh God, don't let us get a misinterpretation of what You're after, but
yes,
we pray, oh God, that You'll help us to know what this means, Lord. Your humility, and yet, oh God, we know that it's doing the will of God. It's losing our own life and taking Your life. Oh God, we thank You for the call. And we pray, oh God, that You'll help every one of us to enter into it, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Father, we pray that You'll give us a love for the low place. We pray that every time You permit a humiliating circumstance, that You permit us, Lord, to go down a notch or two. And Father, we pray that we'll just embrace this as a permission of Your divine love, knowing that Lord, as we come down, You're able to live out Your pure, holy, powerful, divine life through us.
Amen.
God, we just pray that You will help us to embrace the low place, to take every opportunity, Lord Jesus, to come down, to be hidden and out of the way in Christ glorified. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, help us to appreciate the preciousness of such teachings. You have spoken dearly to our hearts, Lord. We thank You. We feel that it's an invitation from You to come and to walk with You and to be brought into that wonderful life of joy and peace and rest and satisfaction. And most of it all, beauty, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand and to appreciate it. And then give us the grace to pray through. O God, make us meek. Make me meek. And make us more obedient to You for Your name's sake.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, we pray that this won't only be a prayer for a year, but we pray, God, it shall be a prayer for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Jesus, that You will take over, that You will bring
us
to the place where we enter to be, where it's no longer a self, but You are living out Your meekness and humility within us. We thank You, Lord, for this great call.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we know that You're after our whole being. You want all of us. We know this is an area that every one of us need real victory. We know this is a subtle thing. It can be hidden. And we do pray that You will set us free from every bit of it. Oh, God,
yes,
we're believing
yes,
You to do it. You know what it takes from each one
yes,
of us.
You know
how to work
yes,
it out.
Lord.
And we're believing You, oh, God. Help
us,
we pray. We know it's a joyous way.
Yes,
and we do want it, oh, God.
No.
We believe You, God, to help
yes.
us.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, help us not to look back, Lord, at the times when we were the opposite of meek and lonely of heart, where the world has processed us, some of us in a lifetime, Lord, with the opposite teaching. But help us to look on, Lord, with the confidence that You and You alone are able to change us, Lord, from the way that we've been brought up and the wrong teachings that the world has given
us.
Joseph.
To be like Jesus.